pillars of the earth are Yahweh's, the world upon them. Do you see the wisdom of this virtuous woman? She sounds like Moses with what she's saying. These are some of the same kind of words that Moses said. And you know how close Moses was to the Almighty. And so she is giving praises to the Most High and letting you know wisdom that Yahweh maketh poor and he make rich. He bring low and he lift up. He can raise the poor out of the dust and lift up the beggar from the dunghill. She was poor. She didn't have any children. And she wanted that with all her soul. And because Yahweh fulfilled what she knew Yahweh would fulfill, and that's why she went to Yah, because she feared Yah and Yah only. And you hear her great honor for the Most High in this song. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of Yah shall be broken in pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them, and Yahweh shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. And who did Yahweh use to anoint the very first king of Israel? He used Samuel. Who did Yahweh use to anoint the greatest king of Israel, who is David? He used Samuel. And who is the mother of Samuel? Hannah. And how did Yahweh bring Samuel into the world? By a virtuous woman who feared him above all, who called on him and named the child what she said she asked for. She asked for the Most High to hear her, and Elohim heard her, and she named the child Shemayuel, or Samuel. And he was one of the greatest prophets. And look what Yahweh blessed this fifth virtuous woman of the scriptures with. Let me show you. Go to this second chapter, and you'll see verse 18. It says, "But Samuel ministered before Yahweh, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, Yahweh giveth thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to Yah. And they went unto their own home. And Yahweh visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Shemayuel, or Samuel, grew before Yah." And you see, after she gave her first fruits, after she honored Yah with her substance, after she praised Yahweh with her increase and vowed unto the Most High, and not only a virtuous woman would do this, after she did this, Yahweh gave her five more children, three sons and two daughters. And did we not tell you, and have we not taught you, that five is the order of Yah's increase? The fifth son, the fifth year, the fifth time, anything in the fifth is Yah's increase. And she increased this woman. She had no children. She was barren. And then he gave her a child. And she gave that child to Yah, and Yahweh gave her five more children. And notice, the way our people dedicated their children to the Most High was not by burning them on the altar and letting them pass through fire and sacrificing them and having them die for your sins as the nations, but she dedicated him to serve Yahweh in Yah's house all the days of his life. And you see it said that he ministered before Yah. And before we move forward to the next virtuous woman, let me show you a glimpse of what kind of man Samuel was. Go to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, and let's start reading around the 10th verse. And Yahweh came and stood and called at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." And Yahweh said unto Samuel, "Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever." And Samuel lay until morning and opened the doors of the house of Yah. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he answered, "Here am I." And he said, "What is the thing that Yahweh has said unto thee? I pray, hide it not from thee. Elohim do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he has said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is Yahweh, let him do what seemeth him good." And Samuel grew, and Yahweh was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of Yahweh. And Yahweh appeared again in Shiloh, for Yahweh revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of Yah. And this was Samuel, who anointed David, who anointed the first king, who was a prophet of Yah all his days, and served Yahweh all his days, and he is one of Yah's greatest prophets. You know he was. He got a book named after him. There's other prophets that Yah talk about, but he didn't put their books in the book of Yah. The prophet Nathan, that was a prophet in the time of David, and the prophet Gad, that was a prophet in the time of David. But their books are not read in the book of Yah, but the book of Samuel is. And this was this Samuel. And how did we receive the visions and the prophecies and the works of Samuel to be read before us this day, to be one of the books that Yahweh said he gathered? It's because of Hannah. It's because of the great fear that Hannah showed towards Yah, and how she honored Yahweh with her substance, and that she honored him with her first fruits of her increase, as it says in Yah's book. Only a virtuous woman would do a thing like this, because that's the fear of Yah. The next, or the sixth virtuous woman that we're going to show you, is also in the book of Samuel, in the first book of Samuel, in the 25th chapter. It states here, "And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him, and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran." And you see, all Israel gathered themselves in the death of Samuel, because that's how great he was to the whole nation, that they all mourned him. And in verse 2, And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Now you see, what I failed to mention about Hannah is that not only was her fear of Yahweh exemplified, but you see, this was not a woman that Elkanah, her husband, even knew. He didn't even realize what kind of woman he had. It said he loved her, but he obviously didn't understand her great honor. Because when she was sad about not having children, he said, I'm better than 10 sons. But if he knew how great of a woman she was, and undoubtedly he saw it later on, he wouldn't have said nothing like that to her. And this wife that he had obviously wasn't something that he went and found and searched out. This wife, of course, it was his second wife. And just because it was the second wife don't mean she was second fiddle, because most times Yahweh chose the second to do his work. And he chose the second wife, Hannah, to do his work and to bring forth this great prophet, Samuel. And you know that Elkanah couldn't have found her, that was given to him by Yahweh. And here you have Abigail, or Abigail, who was of good understanding, as the scriptures say in verse 3 of chapter 25. But Nabal was churlish and evil. Now, you know, he wasn't looking for no woman of good understanding, that he didn't go and say, I need to get me a virtuous woman. Not if he was churlish and evil in his doings. He probably was looking for a woman he could get over on. And nobody knows how this woman of good understanding and this evil, churlish man got together. Maybe they've been together since youth, and maybe he was a cool young man, but then he got above himself. But Abigail didn't allow the riches and the wealth that her husband had allow her to forget who Yah was, because it says that she was a woman of good understanding. Now, what is that? What does that mean? Let me show you. Go to the book of Psalms 111. In Psalms 111, I'm sorry, Psalms, 111. I'm going to read the 10th verse. And it says, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endure forever. Well, you see now that Hannah feared Yah, and she had wisdom. Abigail feared Yah and had wisdom. And since she had a good understanding, which it don't say about another woman in the scriptures, that she was this woman that did the commandments of the Most High. But you know, she was a woman that feared Yah. And if she was a woman that feared Yah, a black woman, I might add, and so was Hannah, a black woman, as Ruth was a black woman, as Leah and Rebecca and Sarah were black women. Because people always want to say that black women ain't humble, black women got all this attitude, black women, and they want to compare them to some heathens, as if the heathens are more humble and more honorable than black women. But these are all black women, and there's no one more honorable honorable than they. And you see, this woman, Abigail, had a good understanding. She kept and did Yah's commandments. And as you can see, this was her virtuous quality. And you're going to see some more about her virtues. Go back to 1 Samuel 25, verse 3, where it says that she was a woman of good understanding and a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Now David heard in the wilderness that Nabal this year is sheep. Verse 4. In verse 5, and David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shears. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show you. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. Now, why did David do this? Well, David said, well, when your people, Nabal, was out doing their work for you, we protected them. They didn't, nothing was taken from them, and nothing, no harm came to them. So we out here, we need help. We helped you when you needed help, so help us. And what did Nabal say? In verse 10, and Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? What? Is he serious? That's what he said. That's why I said that he was churlish and evil. And he said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? Obviously, he know who he is. Because David didn't go and say, thus say David, the son of Jesse. He said, just go tell him that David. But he said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? Let you know he was. And that's how black people talk. You know how black people talk. When we get rude. My man, who is that? Who is that? Like, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? Like, who is that? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. You see how he talking about David? David was famous in Israel. David slew Goliath as a child. David was a war hero. A warrior in Israel. Everybody knew who David was. Don't everybody know who Colin Powell is? Colin Powell sent somebody to your house. Hey, Colin Powell said, and you say, who Colin Powell? You know who Colin Powell is. Talk about you don't know who this man is. David was a war hero. He said, shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it to men to whom I know not whence they be? This is why I said this man was churlish and evil. So David's young men turned their way and sent again and went again and came and told him all these sayings. And David said unto his men, gird you now. Look what David did when he heard this. David said unto his men, gird ye every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men and 200 a bow by the stuff. You see that? David said, oh no, I'm not going to let this wicked man play me like this. We about to kill them. Get your sword, 400 of them. In verse 14, but one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither miss we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the field. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. You see how good David's men treated them? And David knew it. And David was like, you ain't going to return evil for good on me when I did good for you. Now, therefore, know and consider what thou do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such of a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. That's how evil and churlish Nabal was. That even his servants knew, like, man, we can't talk to this guy. And so they went to his wife because she was of good understanding. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready, dressed in 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal, because what sense would that have made? Why would she go to Nabal and say, you churlish and wicked, I'm about to go feed these men? Nabal would have did something to her, as churlish and wicked as he was. So she didn't even mind to go to him. At this time, that's not the time. She was of good understanding. She was a prudent wife. She had wisdom. She knew there's a time and a season for everything. So she didn't go tell Nabal that at this time. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now, David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath required me evil for good. So and more also do Elohim unto the enemies of David, if I leave off all that pertaineth to him by the morning light, anything that pisses against the wall. He meant, I'm killing every man in your house. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground. You see, that's how she approached David, with respect, because there was great terror determined upon her house. And fell at his feet and said, upon me, my master, upon me, let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thy handmaid. Let not thy master, my master, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. If you want to know what Nabal means, that's what it means. Folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my master whom thou didst send, saying, they didn't come to me, they went to him. Now therefore, my master, as Yahweh liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing Yahweh hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my master be as Nabal. You see, these are the words that she gave David to stop him from doing something that she knew and he knew wouldn't have been right, which is taking vengeance upon himself. Because Yahweh said vengeance belongeth to him. And David was a man after Yah's own heart, and all he had to hear were the words. In verse 27, now this is the blessing which thy handmaid hath brought unto my master. Let it even be given unto the young men that follow my master. And what did Abigail come and give? And what did Abigail say? And in what verse did she say it in? Look, in verse 27, which is in the order of 6. And now this blessing, which Yahweh on the 6th day made man and beast and blessed them. Yahweh said, in the sixth year, he'll command his blessing. And Abigail is the sixth virtuous woman of the scriptures. And now this blessing, which thy handmaid hath brought unto my master, let it be given to the young men that follow my master. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy handmaid, for Yahweh will certainly make my master a sure house, because my master fighteth the battles of Yah, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my master shall be bound in the bundle of life with Yahweh thy Elohim. In the souls of thy enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when Yahweh have done unto my master according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my master, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my master hath avenged himself. But when Yahweh shall have dealt well with my master, then remember thine handmaid. So her wise words were, David, don't go and do this thing. Don't go and take vengeance upon yourself. Yahweh has blessed you to be the king over Israel, and you're blameless in his sight, and you don't want to have this blood on your hands when you become the king of Israel. You want to be free of this shedding of blood. And you want to be able to know that you didn't do this thing, and that Yahweh has blessed you to not do this thing. But remember, when you are blessed, remember me, she's saying. Remember who Yahweh sent to you. And David said to Abigail in verse 32, blessed be Yahweh Elohim of Israel, which has sent thee this day to me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. And didn't we tell you that the sixth is when Yah commanded his blessing? And did David not just say blessed three times? Blessed be Yahweh, blessed be you, and blessed be the advice? Because Abigail was a blessing. And her virtuousness was shown to how she feared the Most High, to be able to fall before 400 men that was ready to kill. And she alone went before these men because she feared Yah, because she knew that she was coming with the word of the Most High, because she was a woman of good understanding. And so she knew how to approach this matter. And that's how you'll be when you keep the commandments. When you fear Yah, you'll be of a good understanding. And no situation will seem too drastic or dire, because you'll know, I got to approach this in the fear of Yah and use the ways of Yah and speak the words of Yah and do the service of Yah so I can prevail in this situation. She saved lives this day. And so it says in verse 34, for in very deed, as Yahweh Elohim of Israel liveth, which have kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted to come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened unto thy voice and have accepted thy person. And what did David do in the end? And let me show you, because we have one more to get to, and I want to get to her. In the end, of course, Abigail went and told Nabal after this, and Nabal was having a big party, and Abigail told Nabal what she did. Nabal became still as stone for around 10 days. And then he died. And we pick up back in verse 39. It says, and when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be Yahweh that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from evil. For Yahweh hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail the Carmel, they spoke unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee unto him to wife. And did she say, who is this David? And who is the son of Jesse? No. Did she do like anybody else might have done? Like, he got to take me on some dates. I don't know about. No. She rose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let thy handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord or my master. This is how kind this woman was and how ready she was to be the wife of David. Now, many women are just too prideful to even speak like this. But if you want to shake off and break that pride, then look at these virtuous women. In verse 42, and Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon the ass with five damsels of hers and went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. How many people went with Abigail? Five. And with Abigail, that made six, because she was a blessing. And her virtuousness was shown through her great understanding, her good understanding, that she feared the Most High. And she saved lives because she had a good understanding. She gave these people what they deserve, which was goodness, because they gave goodness and she returned it. And she saved everybody's life. And the only one that died was the one that needed to die. And that was Nabal. And did David go looking for Abigail? Did he go out and say, I'm going to go find me a virtuous woman today? David had a whole nother agenda. He was going to kill some people. But Yahweh sent Abigail to him, and she stopped him from doing this thing. And David didn't go looking for her, because a virtuous woman who can find. Yahweh had to give David this woman. And now, let me take you to our next and final virtuous woman of the scriptures. And I may add that this is another black woman, because Yahweh's daughters are black. Yahweh's children are black children. And these scriptures are about black people. And you need to understand that these are the greatest people in the book. Yahweh's seven wonders was about black men. And they were the greatest men in the scriptures. And so look here in the book of Esther. The book is named after her. She's the seventh virtuous woman of the scriptures. And why is she the seventh virtuous woman of the scriptures? Well, let's look. And what does it say? When did this thing happen? It says, now it came to pass in Esther 1:1, in the days of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even to Ethiopia over 127 provinces. That in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all his princes, and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces being before him. when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 180 days, which is 180 days. And when these days were expired, and how many days is 180 days? Why would Yahweh allow us to have 180 days and not be able to understand this math equation? Well, 180 days is 6 months, because 180 divided by 30 is 6. If you tried to do 180 divided by 31 and 29 and a half, you ain't going to get 6 months. But 180 not only is 6 months, it's half of 360. Which also lets you know what? That Yah's year is 360 days, and they knew it. This is a heathen. And at the end of the 180 days, or the 180 days, which 80 is 80, when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan the palace. Unto great and small, how many days? 7 days. In the court of the garden of the king's palace. So, in the beginning of this book, we see there's a feast of 7 days. And in this feast, let's see, on verse 10, it says, on the 7th day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bistha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagatha, Zethar, and Carsus, the 7 chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king. So not only after 180 days were completed, which puts you in what month? Well, the 7th month. And not only after the feast of 7 days, on the 7th day, he called 7 men to bring Vashti, the queen, before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look upon. Now, this is what was ordered to do in the 7th month, on the 7th day, by 7 men. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said unto the wise men which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshana, Shether, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsana, and Mecuman, the 7 princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, and which sat in the first in the kingdom. So not only was it the 7th month, the 7th day, he sent 7 chamberlains to go get his wife. She refused these 7 chamberlains, and then when he got angry about the thing, he went to his counselors, 7 men, who saw what happened, and said, what shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to the law, because she has not performed the commandment of King Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? And Memucan's answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it shall be reported. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti the queen to be brought before him, but she came not. And people think feminism is just, you know, women's equal rights. But you see, Vashti, she did this feminist thing. I don't have to come when a man called me. And the nation knew, like, hey, man, you can't do this thing. Now all the women going to act like this to their husbands. They're going to have a movement of women that don't know how to be respectful. And then they're going to want to go fight in wars and play football and do a bunch of things that women doing today, which is not even the thing that a woman should be doing. Why you got women in the war when you already got the man in the war, now you put the woman in the war. She's shooting guns right next to the man. Who's going to take care of the family when the man is at the war? Men playing football, now you got women playing football. Men wearing clothes that's after the manner of men, now women wearing clothes after the manner of men. Now everybody's confused because, people didn't want to just be in the role in which Yahweh gave them. And you're not going to just disrespect your king. He said, man, if you do this, everybody going to start tripping. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia and Media say this day unto all the king's princes which have heard the deed of the queen. Thus shall there arise too much contempt and wrath. So he dethroned Vashti. He took her off of the throne and she was removed. And now the king, in verse chapter 2, it says, after these things, when the wrath of the king Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then they said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair virgins, young virgins, unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Haggai the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things of purification be given to them. So you see, he wanted a wife. He went looking for a wife, but he didn't go looking for a woman that feared Yah. He wasn't even an Israelite. He just wanted a woman, a virgin, that was going to listen to him, that was going to respect him as the king, that wasn't going to act like Vashti. And so they did so. And now we pick up around, let's see, let's look in the 8th verse. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together under Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification. With such things had belonged to her in 7 maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house, and he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Now, what are we saying? And what are we seeing? Esther is the 7th virtuous woman of the scriptures. And we can see it because the whole matter for her to even be in the time, as it says in the scriptures, time and chance pertaineth to them all. And this happened in the time of the 7th, the 7th month, the 7th day, 7 chamberlains, 7 princes, 7 maidens given, all these 7s, for it to be for Esther, who was raised by Mordecai, to be able to have the opportunity or the chance to be the queen. And she was favored, just like Joseph when he was in captivity and when he was in Egypt. He was favored. Just like Daniel when he was in Babylon and he was in captivity and he was among the kings. He was favored. And now Esther is among the king's palace in this time of 7, and she's favored. In verse 10, Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it, meaning Esther didn't let them know that she was an Israelite. Now when every maid's turn was to go, verse 11, and Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. Now, when every man's maid's turn, when every maid's turn was come to go into the king Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women. And why wasn't it 13 months or 11 months or 15 months? Because they had 6 months of purification and another 6 months for a year. And that's 12 months. It says, in the 12 months according to the manner of women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished. To wit, 6 months of oil, with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women. And just to get to the meat of it, let me show you what happened. In verse 16, it says, so Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. So not only was it the 7th, not only did this time even happen to come about because in the 3rd year, in the 7th month, on the 7th day, by 7 chamberlains, Vashti said, no, I'm not coming up. And then the king asked 7 men, what should he do? And they said, man, she got to go. And then he sought to get another wife, and he found Esther, came before her. After all these other women came before her, him, Esther came before him, and the king loved Esther above all the women in the 7th year of his reign. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Then the king made a great feast unto all his princes and his servants, even Esther's feast. She even had a feast named after her in the 7th year, and made a release to the provinces and gave gifts according to the state of the king. Now, what did Yahweh tell us to do in the 7th year? And it's in Deuteronomy 15:1. Hold that, Esther, just to show you. In Deuteronomy 15:1, it states, at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. So Esther came in the time of the 7th. This is your 7th virtuous woman. And why? Why is she virtuous? Well, let's see what happened. If you go to chapter 3 of the book of Esther, and I'm going to get right to it to show you what happened. It says in verse 10, or verse 9, in verse 7, it says, in the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast pur, that is, the lot, before Haman, from day to day and from month to month to the 12th month, that is, the month Adar. All this time about the 12th month, and I'm not seeing, and these are Babylonians now. They followed the moon, but they didn't say nothing about no other months. But in the 12th month, Adar, and Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom, and their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed, and I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have this charge of the business to bring into the king's treasures. And the king took his ring from the hand and gave it to Haman, the son of the Hamadatha, the Agite, and the Yehudadin's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called upon the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors that were over every province, and to the rulers of every people, and to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus, it was written, and sealed with the king's ring, and the letters were sent by post, all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Yehudim, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for prey. The copy of the writing of the commandment to be given to every province was published unto all people that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. Now, why was this terrible? Because now Haman had a hit out for every Israelite in the whole empire of Ahasuerus. And this was a very great trouble. And Mordecai in chapter 4 perceived that all was done, and Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth with ashes and went out in the midst of the city and cried with a loud bitter cry. And Mordecai, he sent a letter unto Esther that she might do something to help this situation. And look what Mordecai said to Esther. In chapter 4, verse 12, it says, and they told Mordecai Esther's words. I'm sorry, I got to read up a little bit. Yeah, verse 9, it says, and Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment to Mordecai. All the king's servants and all the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of him to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days, which means a whole month. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Now, she was letting Mordecai know, I don't know what I could do. I'm not allowed to go unto the king because you have to be called. Then Mordecai commanded and answered Esther, think not that with thyself that thou shalt escape the king's house more than all the Yehudim. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall the enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews or the Yehudim from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And Mordecai was letting Esther know, how do you know this ain't the reason you are in the position you're in? Then Esther bade and then returned to Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Yehudim that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, so will I go unto the king, which is according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. And that's her virtues. She feared Elohim because she knew that don't stand against your brother's blood. If your people need you, you go die for your people if you need to. And Esther said, I might die, but I'm a fast, and y'all fast also for 3 days and three nights. Because great affliction was prepared against Israel. And somebody had to stand in the gap. And this woman was so virtuous, so righteous, so ready to serve Yah and be there for her people. She said, let's fast to call on Yah, because that's what the righteous do. And then I'm going to go in, and if I die, I die. And she did go in on the third day in her royal apparel. And the king heard her petition. And what was her petition? Let me show you. In verse chapter 5, verse 6, it says, and the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, because she asked that a banquet of wine be called with her, Haman, and the king. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, what is your petition, and what shall be granted to thee, and what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, my petition and my request is 5 found favor in thy sight. Let it please grant the king my petition before my request, and let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I prepare for them, and will do tomorrow as the king has said. So she called the banquet just to let him know, I want another one tomorrow to establish this matter. And they did call another one. And what happened? Now, between this, from this night to the next day, over the night, as it says in chapter 6, in verse 1, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of the records of the chronicles. And they were read before the king. It was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, to keep the door, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, who honored Mordecai? And they told him, nobody. And he said, well, what shall we do to honor him? And he said, who's out there in the court? And they said, well, there's Haman, the one that wanted to kill the Jews. He's out there. And he said, well, bring him in. And he said to Haman, what shall be done to the man that to the man who the king desired to honor? And Haman thought that the king was talking about him. So Haman said, let him wear the king's crown, let him wear the king's robe, let him ride on the king's horse, and let it be said throughout the province, this is what is to be done to the man who the king desires to honor. And Haman, the king said, man, that sounds good. Go get Mordecai and do that for him. And Haman was pissed off. He's like, oh my goodness, I thought that was for me, but that's for my enemy, Mordecai, the one who I'm trying to kill? And he had to do it. Now, Mordecai was set up as an honorable man before the king. And then the next banquet of wine, Esther called the king and Haman in chapter 7. In verse 1, it says, so the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen, and the king said again unto Esther on the second day of the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted to thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to half the kingdom. Then Esther said, the queen answered and said, if I found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, and I and my people to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we have been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I held my tongue altogether. The enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he, and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. And the king rose up from the banquet of wine, and his wrath went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make requests of his life to Esther and the queen, and he saw that there was evil determined against the king by him. And the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed of whereon Esther was. Then said he, said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. So when they seen that, they bagged his face up. You know how they black bag his head. They drug him out. They said, oh, no, you ain't about to try to get with the king's wife, and you tried to kill the queen's people? So they went and they took him, and they hung him on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. And who stood up for the children of Israel? Esther did. And look here. Just for time's sake, she asked the king if they can fight against those that are going to fight against them. And the king gave Esther her request and sent it out. And they did that thing. And now, what went on in chapter 9, it says in the first verse, now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment is decreed draw near to be put into execution in the day of the enemies of the Yehudadin to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary that the Yehudadin had rule over them and hated them, the Yehudadin gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. So they was able to have triumph over their enemies. And then, as you'll see that it says, in the same chapter, on verse 17, it says, on verse 16, it says, but the other Yehudadim that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies and slew of their foes 75,000, but they laid not their hands on the prey. And on the 13th day of the month, Adar, on the 14th day of the same, rested they and made it a day of feasting and gladness. And Esther was the instrument that Yah used to give rest to the enemies of Israel in the land of their captivity. And Esther feared Elohim. She feared Elohim just like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, just like Daniel, just like Yosef, just like Moses, just like Abraham, just like Abigail, Hannah, Leah, Ruth, Rebecca, and Sarah. And she calls rest for Israel because she laid down her life. She stood before the king at risk of her life. She stood up for Israel, for her people. And the man that sought to slay them, she was able to turn the king against him, and she was able to have that man slayed and allow the Israel to fight for themselves and to prevail. And it even tells you that after this, many people became under the spirituality of the Yehudadim because rest came upon the provinces because of the seventh virtuous woman of the scriptures, Queen Kadasa, or as you know, Queen Esther. And then we tell you that the seventh is when Yah rested and he blessed it and he sanctified it. And this is what he did with Esther. And this is what he did with all of the virtuous women of the scriptures. Praise the mighty Yah. And until next time, tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much. And so do we at the house of Israel. Shalom.